With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. How about that game, gentlemen? I know, right? This is good. Just get straight into it, because that was extremely exciting, and it gives me a lot of hope for the future. Chris, James, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling about that game?
Very good. Chris happy.
Like how
I am also very happy.
So I think the best thing about this game was just everything just seemed to click for the Dallas Stars today. Mm-hmm. Everything just seemed to click. The only thing that I had to say negative about it, just because it didn't, you know, we didn't score any goals on it, was the power play, and we didn't even need it.
Yep. Agreed. So yeah. Everything else just totally clicked, and it started with the lineup. I mean, we slot in Dadonov, and this is the first game that Domi plays in, and literally just the entire lineup, it just feels like drops into place, and it's just exactly where you want it. Fox is back on the fourth line again. Delandre is on the fourth line. The fourth line was fantastic tonight. I think those guys being in that spot, that makes them one of the best fourth lines in the game. And when why did I just forget his name? Our other fourth liner who wins a lot of faceoffs.
Glendening.
When Glendening gets back, it's going to be one of the best fourth lines in hockey. I mean, it is so dominant. They are so good on the forecheck. And now with Delandre on that line, they have a real scoring threat too. So I am very excited about the fourth line with the addition of Domi and Dadonov.
So this was pointed out to us by James. James actually texted us and let us know. I think this was probably the most amazing stat of the day. All four lines contributed in the offense today. All four lines.
It was awesome.
So James, when did you notice that? Is that just something you saw, or something
after,
you figured out yourself?
After Fox tipped the Lindell shot, I realized that all four lines had scored. And I went back and checked, and I was like, yep, all four lines scored. It was, I mean, and really what it was the fourth line. It looked great all night, and then they scored finally. I was like, I think that makes it all the lines scoring.
Yep, for sure.
What I really enjoyed about with this game in particular, and I tweeted this after the first period, that lack of a killer instinct specifically that I've been talking about for about a week, maybe even 2 weeks, maybe you could even look back at even a month. It was there in the first period. I mean, it was 100% there in the everything, absolutely everything. Again, the only thing was the power play, okay? Fine, we didn't score on the power play, but it was 3-1 going into the first intermission. And I tweeted this out. I have not seen the Stars play like this in months, especially in the first period.
This was the December Stars. This is how we were rolling so hard. And that's all I was thinking in the first period too, Ryan. I was like, man, Ryan is probably so happy because he always complains about us starting slow, and he's always complaining about the killer instinct. We start fast in probably the biggest game of the season so far. And blow it out on a national stage. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first game against the actual Colorado Avalanche. I mean, the last two times we played them, half their team was hurt.
Well, when we say the actual Colorado Avalanche, and they're still missing two gigantic forwards.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a crazy rough year for them.
Well, so here's the thing, though, is you do have to roll with the punches as injuries. I mean, they're going to happen. Yeah. And thankfully, they haven't happened for the Stars as much. And we've been missing Kiviranta and Glendening a lot. And us going out there and getting two forwards and Max Domi and Evgeny Dodonov, it's helped us out a ton. And so, I mean, that puts Kiviranta as the 13th forward, I think, when he comes back, which, I mean, it sucks for him, but that's just the way that it is. I really wanted to talk about, and you already kind of mentioned it a little bit, Chris, but the fourth line was by far, in my opinion, the best line in the game tonight. And they might not have been getting all the scoring chances and stuff like that, but at the beginning of the game, the very beginning of the game, it was the fourth line that got it started. And literally, as soon as they started in the offensive zone, they were able to change out to the first line. The first line got out there, and then Robertson gets the first goal of the game, and it just starts the pace for the rest of the game. So I have to give full marks and full credit to the fourth line. I thought they were one of our best lines today.
Yeah, they were definitely fantastic. I'll give them full credit for it, even though I did my little face at that, because our first line did score 3 goals, so that's a little tough. But our fourth line was exceptional tonight, especially when we've been badgering them the past couple of weeks. And yeah, it was really good.
Everything happened with what we were expecting to the lines, and the fourth line just exceeded what we normally expect from them.
Exactly.
And well exceeded it, too.
Well exceeded by a lot.
But and then here's the thing that we've also been talking about with the fourth line. With Dellandrea and Foxa in particular, those two were playing up in the lineup, probably in roles that they shouldn't have been playing in, right? So, I mean, Foxa goes from the second line to the fourth line, and he looks fantastic on the fourth line. I mean, it's a lot for a fourth liner. True, Chris, $3 million. But he scored today. He's an amazing penalty killer. You can almost guarantee you're going to win a faceoff if he's in the faceoff dot. And it just everything that seemed to work with that fourth line worked. And then with Dellandrea, we haven't really seen him a lot on the fourth line this season. He's mostly been slotted in as a middle six forward, but it really worked for him today. I mean, I think it kind of highlighted the best parts of his game, being able to play on the fourth line with Radek Foxa.
Yeah, and absolutely. You think about how that line played, even with Kivi on it, that line just hunts pucks and they outwork the other team. That's what they did with Kivi and Glendening, Fox all playing on that line earlier in the season. They just hunted every single puck down, played the entire shift in the opponent's zone, and that's what they did tonight.
Kind of on the flip side of some of this stuff, talking about how we started off really well, and I was elated at the end of the first period. I'm like, if we can play like this, we can win the Stanley Cup. This team is the one that can win the Stanley Cup. The problem is we haven't seen it consistently through the season. And boy, did we have a big downturn, especially in February. Looks like we're kind of out of it, and I would argue that, especially with this win today, we're out of that slump.
Definitely out of it. 4-0-1 in the past 5. We're out of it.
And some people could look at our record and say, okay, well, you beat Chicago, who traded everything away, and then you also beat the Arizona Coyotes, who, again, traded everybody away.
And we also
you can't say anything about this
Golden
game.
Knights, the Golden Knights and the Avalanche, too. I mean, that's in this 5-game stretch.
And you beat those two bad teams when everything is going against you. All the bounces were against us, and we still found a way to scrap out those wins. Tonight, we get like one or two bounces. I would even say Colorado got more bounces than we did. Their first 2 goals, I mean, that is so lucky. And we still just blow them out of the water. It doesn't matter. We just took control of the game.
So the next thing I kind of wanted to discuss was how physical they came out in this game today. I mean, they didn't just hit. They destroyed everybody that they could. Everybody and anybody. Hawk and Paw, Ben, Dellandrea. Where the heck did this come from? Two big hits. So I love that they played physical, but it wasn't because they weren't controlling the puck. Sometimes there's a lot of announcers that say, oh, well, the team that, you know, has more hits than the other team is normally the team that loses, right? That's not the case today. And especially with the way they played on the physical side of the game, it set the tone for the entire game. So I loved how well they did that today.
Yeah, it announced the presence, and it made sure everybody knew that this was a playoff-style game, that this was not going to be your run-of-the-mill regular season matinee.
I want to get to the second goal as well, because the second goal kind of led me to believe this other point that I've been talking about. Just throw the puck at the net. And they did that. I mean, the first 2 shifts from the fourth line and the top line, I mean, as soon as they got the puck and there was at least some sort of daylight, even if it was minuscule, they were throwing it at Georgiev. And they were getting bounces. They were getting chances. And that's something you have to do when you know that you're not getting every bounce going your way. That you just throw it at the net and just see what happens. If it gets blocked, great. You might get a rebound on it.
Not just see what happens. Throw it at the net, then jump at the net. Dive at the net. Smack the puck in. Do whatever it takes. And that's definitely what they did tonight.
Well, and specifically with that second goal, I mean, Miro's shot, it wasn't anything fantastic. But he got it through the first man, and there was so much traffic in front because the Stars were just there ready to crash the net that Georgiev never had a chance. He never saw it. I mean, I thought for sure it got tipped. No, it didn't get tipped at all. They were calling it someone else's goal for a second. I was like, no, I don't think that got tipped. And then for the third goal, we got to talk about two players who finally get the monkey off their backs. Goodness gracious, six alive. Talk about the first one. Joe Pavelski made it 3-1 in the first period. That's got to be goal of the year candidate. I mean, it has to be. It was all three forwards touched it. It was a tic-tac-toe play. It was 3v5. Did you see that? All five Avalanche were back. All five of them. And yet, he can't even get it on his stick. Pavelski can't. He gets it on his skate, stops the puck with his skate, and then deposits it into the back of the net.
Fantastic play. Fights through the defender, too. I mean, that took some muscle to get. That was some old man strength right there is what that was, to get his stick back onto that puck.
And it's a crazy pass across from Robertson, too, to even see that lane. I mean, he passes it through three people, it looked like.
Nasty.
It was just absolutely fantastic watching that play. I saw him open, and I'm like, no way. He's finally going to do it. Like a split second in my head. And I just slowly started stood up, and then it was in the back of the net. It was fantastic.
That was the big goal for me, too, honestly, because that was a minute after the Avs scored theirs. I was like, oh, dang, we're going to let the Avs back in the game and then sink one like that? Goodness.
No.
Yeah, right. And it wasn't just like how it was scored. Yes, it was a dagger, but it was the timing of it. You're exactly right, James, is because 2 minutes before the end of the first period, you know, maybe the Colorado can feel better about themselves and they got a late goal. And all right, we're only down by one goal, guys. No, they came. The first top line came back and, I mean, made that play. It was disgusting. And then that's the other thing that before I talk about the next player that pulled a monkey off of his back, the top line was the best line for the Dallas Stars tonight. And let's be honest, they've been good at points, but they have not been producing at the level that we've needed them to over the last, I wouldn't say the last 2 months, as a line, I should say.
As a month.
Individually, like, Hintz has been doing really well. Robo has shown some flashes. Pavelski has had some pretty good opportunities with assists and passing and all that. But as a line today, they came forward and said, this is our game, this is a big game, and they dominated, which is exactly what we need.
And what it felt like was missing the past month and a half was that passing that we've seen. The quick little short passes that they were making were so crisp earlier in the season. And we saw them back again tonight. The passes were just hitting. Yeah. Something about tonight, everything was just clicking.
And that's why I think I credit so much of that to just scrapping out the two wins against Arizona and Chicago. I mean, those were not pretty wins, but that gets your confidence rolling again. When you beat teams like that, like you're supposed to, you start getting that confidence back.
Yeah, 100%.
So getting to the next goal, Mason Marchment, welcome to the goal column again for this. It only took 32 games, but he's finally over it. And when I saw him in the high slot and there's like nobody around him, I'm like, please, give it to us. He deposits it in the back of the net, and it was off of a Colorado turnover. Just fantastic play by the entire line altogether.
Great shot.
Great shot. We haven't even talked about Domi yet, but Marchment.
Great play by Domi too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a third assist right there.
Yeah. Give him the tertiary assist.
But that puts the Stars up 4-1. And at this point, I'm feeling a little bit more confident, but still not super confident because, like they mentioned, it was New Jersey. New Jersey was up 5-1 at one point, and Colorado came back and it was 5-4.
New Jersey doesn't have a Jake Oettinger in net, though.
And they also don't have that. They don't have as good defense as we do, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, defensive
conference teams, whatever. Terrible conference.
Well, Sagan had a chance off the rush, and his shot got blocked by Devon Toews, who had a really good game for Colorado. He seemed to be one of the few players that was doing really well for Colorado. And I was thinking, oh, come on now. And I forgot who mentioned it, but one of the announcers was like, everybody remember that save. Remember that block by Toews. That might come in handy later. And I was like, please don't make it be.
Yeah, I didn't remember it.
I did. But... And then give credit to the fourth line again. Foxa got a goal as well. And it was nothing spectacular from the fourth line. They literally deposit it into the zone. It's back in the corner. Foxa wins it. He throws it back up to the point. They take a point shot. Foxa gets the tip. That's all it was.
And that's what we said a while ago that the fourth line needs to do. Like, they don't need to try and make those small passes like the first line does. They need to get to the point, and someone needs to shoot it. And we need to hope it goes in. And that's exactly what happened. We got to keep doing that.
And then right after that goal, Kincaid got pulled out. Georgiev got thrown in. And after that, for the last, I'd say, 6-7.5-ish minutes, something like that, Colorado really started pushing, and Jake Oettinger kind of shut the door there at the end of the second period.
Yep, for sure. Three big saves in that last, like you said, 8 minutes. Then that after those saves, I was like, okay, Otter's on, and we have a three-goal lead.
Four-goal lead.
My bad.
Yeah, it's weird to say, right? We haven't had many of those. So the third period, there wasn't really much to talk about. The Stars kind of took care of business, other than the end. The end kind of scared me a little bit. But the Johnston goal, that should never go in a million years.
Even Johnston was like,
okay.
I love your face, Chris. That said it all. That's exactly how I would have responded. Yeah. How did that go in? At the end of the game, the Avalanche at least made it somewhat interesting with Cogliano getting a goal off a rebound. Again, just a simple play. And then Rodriguez had a goal as well off the rush. It was a pretty good shot. So
that was nice.
nothing on Otter there, but
off of a penalty for hitting.
Off a garbage penalty. Ben got a penalty for checking. Yeah. Whatever, dude. Mm-hmm.
It's the weirdest penalty ever. I don't know what that ref saw on that play.
Yeah. Dude, Wes McCauley has it out for the Stars. That's my deep state conspiracy theory that Wes McCauley hates us.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Jason Robertson would get rewarded with an easy goal because he scores so many hard goals anyways. Just give him an easy one. Made it 7-3, and just, I mean, it was fantastic. The way the Stars played a majority of the game, I'd say 99.99% of it was just absolutely excellent. All of my criticisms that I've been saying for weeks, I have no reason to criticize this team at all after this win. I have nothing. And even the power play that wasn't good tonight, it doesn't matter because all the goals you scored are 5-on-5, right? So, I mean, I can't complain about it if you're winning the game. Results are the things that matter.
And the last four games, I think the most important thing is how many goals we scored. We've scored 4 goals or more in the last 4 games.
Scoring good.
We're scoring again. We were stuck on 2 or 3 for like a month and a half.
Uh-huh.
Finally getting back to it. Finally executing on the chances that we get.
Is there anything I neglected to talk about that y'all want to talk about? Because we can talk about certain players at this point.
The defensemen were a lot better tonight too. Miro Heiskanen, and like we said, one of the biggest games of the year, only 22 minutes of ice time. That means everyone else is playing solid enough to be put back out there. That's what we need in these big games. So hopefully the D, who is fluctuating in how good they are, can be consistent when crunch time comes. And in the playoffs, that's every game. So
super important. Super important.
I thought Håkan Paul was absolutely amazing tonight.
He had one of the best hits. Games of his season.
He had 5 hits, like half of them on McKinnon, I swear. He had like a +4 on the night. It was a crazy night for him.
Especially after having a rough couple of weeks, I feel like he really stepped back up.
Yeah. Also, the 3 stars of the game are great. They chose Pavelski for the first one, Marchment for the second, and Jamie Benn for the third. Jason Robertson doesn't even make the sheet.
Yeah, shut up, Jason Robertson.
Doesn't matter. These guys haven't scored in 20 games. They get the first stars.
That guy always scores.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game, and if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. I really want to see the Mavs do really well, so with the recent acquisition of Kyrie Irving to the Mavs, I'm just going to be taking the over every single time on DraftKings Sportsbook on his point totals, because, I don't know, I'm just hoping that me betting on that is going to help him inconspicuously get more points. I don't know. I'm just going to be looking at that. Download the app now and sign up with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with the code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details. So, just taking a look at some of the stats in today's game, 11 players end up with a point tonight. And then here's something else that kind of shows you how good Hockenpah was today. He has 0 points, but he's a plus +4. That's insane.
Yep.
That's very abnormal. And again, I know we talk about all the time, we hate the plus minus stat over a long period of time. But in a short period of time, or especially one game, looking at that, that tells you how good of a game Hockenpah had.
He played 20 minutes.
Only two less than Miro, and that's saying a lot. So
yep, for sure.
Okay, and we obviously got to talk about two big players today. Max Domi makes his Dallas Stars debut. I can't believe it's 20 minutes into the podcast. I mean, we're just now talking about that. But, I mean, everybody was good tonight. And then even, like, the ABC broadcast, they didn't mention Domi as a Dallas Star until 5 minutes into the first period. I'm like, it takes you that long to talk about a player making his debut?
With so many storylines, I don't really blame him.
That's true. But what was specific, if anything, that you saw about Max Domi's play that kind of made you excited or gave you hope that he was going to be a good fit for this team?
Confidence with the puck was my big thing. I mean, his stick handling, he knows where the puck is at all times. His passing, he knows where the puck's going to go every single time. So I think him being really confident, paired with Mason Marchment, who probably isn't the most confident guy with the puck, I kind of like that as a pairing.
I think the biggest thing for me was the one play he had where they scored off of it. He got to the zone, and instead of trying to like pass it off to Sagan or something, he realized he had the time to just wait there and let the play develop. And yeah, and that really got us into the zone real easily, and the Avs were scrambling at that point.
He ends with about 16 minutes of ice time tonight, so not bad for a guy making his debut. It's not like he was sheltered or anything like that.
The craziest thing is he didn't have a practice or a morning skate. This is the first time he's played with his line mates ever.
Hockey players are so good. Hockey players are so good. That's insane. Mm-hmm. How can you do that?
What I particularly liked about Domi is that for me, he was very nervous at the beginning of the game. And I could easily tell because he had a couple of turnovers. But what was awesome about his line mates, in particular, Tyler Sagan, helped him mop it up. Like I think he turned the puck over at least two or three times in the first 10 minutes that I noticed. But it didn't matter because the Stars were playing backup. There was somebody back there helping him out. And that goes to kind of my next point in the fact that the Stars had some problems getting out of their own zones, but it was nowhere near as bad as it's been the past 2 months again. I mean, and then when they weren't able to get it out of the zone, they were winning the puck battles along the boards when they couldn't get it out. I mean, like, I would say if I give it a percentage, like 80% of the time, 82% of the time, something like that, where they were able to get it out and win that second puck battle to get it out of their own zone. So I thought that was fantastic.
Yep, agreed.
So another player we kind of have to mention, and again, we're 25 minutes in, we haven't even talked about it yet. Jamie Benn is presented with his silver stick officially for getting his 1,000th game as an NHL player. And he does everything for this team. And we rightly criticized him this offseason. We all did. And the amount of money that he's making and everything like that, you can't do that this year. You absolutely can't. Because, okay, he may not be scoring at the same rate that he was when he won the Art Ross. Okay, he's not going to get 80 points anymore like he did. But he's doing everything else, man. I mean, he is just a beast to play against. Nobody likes to play against him because he's just a monster. Yeah. He's the power forward that, like, every team in this league, I think, would probably want. And then on top of that, he's leading along this next generation of Dallas Stars players with Wyatt Johnston going along the way, who's going to be a superstar in this league if he keeps playing the way he's been playing. Yeah. So not only is he... does he have his Renaissance season going on? And he's going to, I think he hits 30 goals this season, the way he's playing. Yep. He's doing so much more.
Yep. Which is crazy, especially considering last season, he played all 82 games last season and didn't hit 20 goals. And now he is well past 20 already. So the stride he took and like just taking it to another level and finding a different way to play was the big thing. We talked about that all last offseason, that he needed to find a different way to play, and playing on that third line, he's definitely found his spot at least. Yeah. Or maybe we can give some credit to DeBoer on that.
Yeah, I don't know that he's playing any differently, honestly, because he's still playing stylized. his physical heavy. I mean, that's what's more impressive to me, is that he's still the Jamie Benn that has played for this team for forever. He is constantly hitting. He's head hunting, it feels like, every shift. He's fighting for pucks in front of the net. He's knocking people to the ice. And now he's just able to score again. I don't know how that works, whether it's just him playing less time, being able to do more of that or what, but it has been absolutely amazing to see.
Yeah. I think he's playing less time, playing against the lower lines definitely helps. But then the biggest thing I was thinking about when I was talking about changing the way he plays was him on the power play on that first unit. That's really where I think he's made the biggest try. I think he has 10 power play goals this season, which is just crazy. And yeah, so that's where I was more thinking.
He also has two shorthanded goals.
Yeah, so... just a fantastic comeback year for Jamie Benn. He's fantastic. And just overall, just as a Stars captain, he's the best Stars captain ever in history. The end. And just as a player with having so many different coaches, he always is the first guy to buy in and buys in the most. There was never a problem with, oh, Jamie's not listening to the coach. Oh, there's a problem with Jamie and the coach. He is always the first guy to listen and to buy into what's going on to try and help the hockey team win. He cares about the Dallas Stars winning hockey games. He could care less that he has 25 goals this season. If he could trade all of his goals for four more wins, he would do it in a heartbeat.
So with his assist tonight, he now has more points in this season than any of the last five seasons that he's had. He had 53 points in 2018-2019, and he had 79 in 2017-2018. He has 54 points this season, and this season's not done. There's still 20 games left. So you could easily see him getting – I don't think he's going to get to 70, but definitely in the mid-60 point-wise, I think he's going to be able to do that. And sure. I really think just the answer is he's just playing less minutes. So he doesn't have he doesn't have the same energy that he did when he was in his mid-20s. And he's being asked to play less minutes, and he's just – able to be more effective because he's going all out in the less minutes that he's been given. Well, so I just
think also his shot percentage is ridiculous right now. He's 17%.
It is above average. But, oh yeah. Oh, over his
it's ridiculous.
Yep. So, yeah, and I do agree with you. And yes, when y'all were talking about power play points, he now has 20 power play points on the season. And he hasn't had 20 since the 2017-18 season when he had 22. So, again, that's probably another reason. Like you said, Chris, it's just a resurgence on the power play. How did y'all feel about the line combos in general, the forward line combos? because I thought the way that they came out, that they were perfect. It seemed like the way that they came out. Now, again, it's one game, and we got to be careful about that. But I thought that the way that the line combos came out today were absolutely amazing, the way they were.
I think the most important thing is being able to slide Delandre all the way down to the fourth line, honestly. I mean, how he plays fits how a fourth liner plays. It is just hard. It's just working for the puck constantly. And that's we lost that completely with Glendening and Kiviranta out. I mean, we didn't have a fourth line.
Yeah. And now we definitely do. Yeah. On paper, this is the correct way to put the lines together. I mean, and it worked perfectly. So hopefully paper is just correct.
So I did want to talk about some things that I've seen a lot on, and then we'll mention the Texas Stars game last night. I don't know if y'all saw that. That was yeah, I went back in and found it and watched it. Oh man, it was a full playoff game. It makes me want to go and watch a Texas Stars game here in the next couple of months, maybe even in the playoffs. We'll see. But before that, do you all think that Thomas Harley is going to be a part of this team, whether it's in for the rest of this season or in the playoffs?
He has to be.
Because it looks like that Nil went out and did his due diligence and looked to see if there is a defensive option out there that he thought would actually be an upgrade over Ryan Suter or whoever else is on the bottom third pairing. And I would argue that he didn't find one, because obviously he didn't trade for one. So that would make Harley kind of like the trade deadline acquisition for the Stars on the blue line. And a lot of people have argued that that's something that we still need, is we just need one more defenseman, and that might put us over being a quote-unquote contender. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the biggest thing for me, I'm almost positive Harley will be playing before the end of the season. Even if he doesn't play in the season, he'll play in the playoffs, because someone's going to get hurt. he's going to have to play. So, I think adding Max Domi really helps a lot, because we're able to go back to running all four lines again. And we now know that the third line is going to score, more than likely. You don't have just... I mean, the third line for the whole year felt like it was kind of there. they didn't really... And third line, I mean Sagan's line. But
yeah,
it just felt like they never ever clicked with anyone, it felt like. I mean, Sagan and Marchment had some going on, but there was no one else to play with them for the whole year. And now with Domi, it feels like we finally at least solidified our forwards. So before, it felt like we didn't have a solid bottom six on our forwards or bottom four on our defensemen. And now we at least have some stability here.
Yeah, I think Harley's been tried late in the season two other times already in his career, and it hasn't worked out either time. And that's the only thing that's kind of keeping me away from testing him out.
Well, I don't think it's going to be we're testing him out. I think he's going to have to play. I don't think it matters.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, assuming no one gets hurt. Assuming no one gets hurt, I don't think he comes in. Yes, even if someone does get hurt, but I think the coaching staff just trusts Hanley more.
Maybe.
I think it really depends also on who's out of the lineup as well. So if, let's say, Lindell's out of the lineup, maybe, or God forbid, Miro Heiskanen, I think we would need somebody like Thomas Harley to come up and kind of play
still the minutes
quarterback. Yeah, and I mean, no one's going to replace what Miro does, and we don't expect Harley to do that. But Harley is a puck moving defenseman, and I would argue right now the only real puck moving defenseman we have that we fully 100% trust is just Miro. I think Nils is Lundqvist is coming along. He's coming along. He's slowly starting to get that. Yes, but we've seen that he's needed rest. He got scratched for a while, about a week and a half.
He needs to be protected a little bit too.
Yes,
honestly.
And he's not fully getting it up there. So
that's what she said.
My argument to you, Chris, is that the way Harley has played in the AHL this season is very different than we've seen him the previous two times he's tried to come up and play with the big boy club.
But the AHL is very different from the NHL. I mean, everyone talks about how big of a step it is speed-wise, even. So, I don't know. I like the idea. I love the idea of having someone come up from our own system and make a big splash. But it's, yeah. I just think it might end badly and ruin the good year that Harley has had in the AHL is what I'm worried about.
And Drew with a really decent point over here. I think that could probably help him out. But I don't think you call him up, Drew says. Harley, I think, would benefit from a great Calder Cup run in the That's AHL. And the thing is the Texas Stars are – they're a juggernaut right now in the AHL with the way they're playing. And, I mean, I think they have a shot to win the Calder Cup again. So it's been a long time since they've had a chance to win. Like when Jamie Benn went down and played – in the AHL playoffs. So that was a long time ago. So I think he would benefit greater from a Calder Cup run down there than he would coming up and playing third pairing minutes for the big boy club.
But I mean, if you need him, you need him.
Yeah,
so,
that's the
problem. We've put ourselves in a position where if we need him, he's going to play. We have no one else to play.
But I feel a lot more confident about him coming up now because of the way that he's played this season. So if and or when he gets called up, I mean, I will feel a lot better about him coming up than I have in previous times. Okay, so let's just go ahead and talk about the Texas Stars. It's a good segue into it, and then we'll cut it off here tonight. Stars Twitter last night was just blowing up over the AHL game that was
there. Sports Twitter was blowing up.
Oh, man.
That was a great AHL night, man.
Yeah, so I don't normally watch AHL games. Every once in a while, I'll find one and go and watch it. But after the game was over and I saw what happened, I had to go and figure out what the heck happened. But I watched the highlights first, and I was just like, oh, this looks like a game that you got to get into, you got to watch. So I watched it from the beginning, and it was just play after play after play, just – Both sides were just fantastic. And then in the last 5 minutes, you know, these teams are looking like they're going to be facing off at each other at some point in the playoffs, the Milwaukee Admirals and the Texas Stars. There's just an all-out line brawl. And then Askarov, who is a first-round pick for the Nashville Predators, who looks like he's going to be the next UC Saros for them, and Remy Poirier go at it, man. And I was
first AHL game too.
I know, right? Exactly.
like dude,
like his first AHL Welcome. Game. And then, like, you know, Dobby's gone. He got traded to Chicago, and so it's, you know, it's Remy taking over the net because Matt Murray is up in with Dallas, and it's kind of like a, here you go, buddy. Just throw you in, go it. And Poirier is just like, just.
Oh, he's already beating. A Texas Stars legend.
Already Texas Stars legend. Love it.
Wasn't so, there like 90 something penalty minutes in that game?
Yeah, so it was
something crazy.
It was close to 100, yeah. So, I mean, if anything, that's good for hockey, right? Especially for the AHL. That's good for the AHL because it
every once in a while.
Every once in a while, yes, that's true. But it's good for hockey. I love to see that. And hopefully, the Texas Stars will also have a deep run in the AHL playoffs, like the Dallas Stars hopefully will in the NHL. Yep.
For sure, at least go check out that line brawl.
That was awesome.
It was vintage. It was 90s hockey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and what I also loved about it is that the Texas Stars Twitter just went into it, man. Oh, they were just going all in on this line brawl. It was like, watch this, and blah, 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 and look, there's a goalie fight. Oh, it was so much fun. So much fun. Okay. All right, we're already at almost 40 minutes, so y'all got anything else to say?
Nope.
It's nice to win.
We like.
It's nice to win and like 100% deserve the win, and do it against a really good team who's been doing really well recently. They won 14 out of their last 19, so I absolutely love to see that. All right. Well, anyways, we will be back with you guys again when the Stars take on the Calgary Flames, who look like they're not going to make the playoffs, you guys. So we'll be with you guys on Monday night when that happens. and then again on Thursday when the Stars take on the surging Buffalo Sabres. So that'll be really interesting, too, to see how the Stars can match up against the Buffalo Sabres there. Because, like I said, they've been doing really well as well. But anyways, since I didn't do it at the beginning, thank you to our sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook, Raycon. Use that promo code THPN the next time you're there. We thank them for being our sponsors. Go out and check out StarCastRemarks.com for all the latest StarCastric Remarks stuff. There is a special announcement that will be dropping over the next couple of days. Stay tuned to all of our social media accounts for that. Make sure you follow so that you guys can get that news from us there. That will be coming very, very soon. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you guys would retweet it, leave us a comment, hit the notification bell, all that stuff, you know, that people say all the time in videos like this. But anyways, along with Chris, along with James, my name is Ryan. We will catch you guys on the flip side, and we hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. James, Chris, take us out. Say it together.
Get together.
GG boys.
Oh my gosh.
GG boys.
Oh my gosh, whatever.